right, a quick heads up, everybody. We're going to get started here. Calls and questions are starting to come in pretty heavy, but you've still got time. If you press 1 on your phone right now, I'll still be able to get to you. If you've got a question, a comment, a topic, press 1. The sooner you do it, the better your chances. Like I say, right now, I'd be able to get to you, but it's coming in pretty quick. So let's get started.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business
and Beyond,
the show that puts the money where it belongs,
back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking. We take your calls and answer your questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, maintenance, tires, taxes, technology, health and fitness on the road, getting started as an owner-operator, finding freight, working with brokers. If you've got a question about anything at all, pick up the phone, give me a call. We'll talk about it here on the air. We're talking a lot about taxes. It's that time of year. And, you know, I started in October saying, get your accounting up to date. You really, if you're running a business, you should be doing this every single month of the year. There are so many benefits. But if you haven't, we want to keep giving you an option. And I want you to get your numbers together as soon as you possibly can. The sooner you do it, the better this tax experience is going to be for you. Think of me as your conscience standing on your shoulder saying, just do this. I know we all hate this, but it is a necessary part of being in business. Until I can convince enough people that we need a fair tax, this is something we have to do. But the sooner you get it done, the better. So if you went all year and you didn't do any kind of accounting, and now you are sitting there with a year's full of receipts and settlements, and they're a mess, you've got to get on this. Take a couple days off. You could do it in one day, and I'm going to show you how we can make this fairly painless and easy, and it could be done in one day. I would take 2 days. I would go someplace you really enjoy and there are no distractions. I would turn your phone off. I would turn your email off. And I would just dig in and do this. Hunker down and get it done. And you will feel so much better and you will save a lot of money and headache. And you're going to be much better prepared. Wouldn't you rather know owing tax now rather than wait till April 15th or file an extension and then you're going to start paying penalties and interest? By the way, just to make this clear, because a lot of people misunderstand this, the IRS will grant you an extension all the way to October, but that is not an extension of time to pay. It is only an extension of time to file. On April 16th at midnight, interest and penalties start accruing on any tax unpaid. So file an extension really only puts off the inevitable, but if you don't pay, it's going to cost you a lot of money. So rather than wait, get it done right now, get into your tax preparer, get the number back, and then start dealing with it. Even if you don't have the money, at least you know what it is. You could start making payments now. It will really make a big difference. So I'm going to walk through how you would do this. And I'm going to make you an incredible offer that you just can't refuse. But the real key is, even if you don't follow my system or use any of our services, just do this. Just get it done. I promise you, you will be happy when it's over. Here's what you're going to do. Time off, get to some place where you enjoy being and there's no distractions, turn your phone off, turn your email off, have all of your records there. So right now what I'm talking about, don't worry about all your personal stuff yet. Just work on the business first alone. So what you need to get in order are all of your receipts. and all of your settlements if you're leased to a carrier. What you're going to do, there's two ways you could do this. I'm going to recommend taking a little bit of extra time and really coming up with a secondary benefit other than getting your taxes done. There's two ways. Let me explain that so that this makes sense. You could either take all of your documents, receipts, settlements, all that stuff, separate it out into categories, make a pile of all the settlements, make a pile of fuel receipts, a pile of maintenance receipts, a pile of toll receipts for the whole year, and you could total them all up, and those would be the numbers you need to do your tax return. You could do that. And if all you care about right now is getting your tax return done, then do that. It's quick and easy, and you'll be done. But I really want you to think about taking an extra step here because the benefits are tremendous. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to make those same piles. Make a pile of settlements, but separate them by the month. So you're going to have a pile for January, February, March, et cetera. You're going to do the same thing with all of your receipts. January fuel receipts, February fuel receipts, January maintenance receipts, and so on. You get the idea. It's a little more work, but here's the key. Instead of just totaling them up, go to our software, Profit Gauges, and we offer a 30-day free trial, and the program is unlimited. We don't lock you out of anything. You get access to the full-blown program, and you can go backwards. We're going to let you in the trial. We're going to open up the trial for last year and open up all the months of the year. So now you'll sit down, and it'll take you, when you get good at it, it's going to take you 20 minutes a month. In the beginning, it might take you closer to an hour for the first couple months. But you're going to put that data into the software every month. You're then going to get a business report and a profit and loss statement every month so you could see exactly what was going on in your business last year. And when you get through putting in all 12 months, you're going to get a one-page tax report that you can email right out of our program. When you're done, you look at the report, you click email, you can send it right to your tax preparer. If you want to use us for your tax return, which I'd love to have you, you just click a button and we know you want your tax return done and we have the report right there. This is free, by the way. We are opening this up and making this offer so that you can get caught up on last year. You can get an entire year's worth of history on your business, and you get to test drive the system. Now, why would I do that? Why would I open the whole program up to you for a whole year? And you have 30 days to get this all done. I would love to see you do it in a day or two. But you have 30 days to get it all done after you sign up for the free trial, but we're going to open up the whole year. You get to use our software for the whole year for free for 2015. Why would I do that? One, I really want you to get this done. Two, I like selling my software. And when you see how easy this program is, and when you see how much you learn about your business, I'm pretty confident you're going to spend the $19 a month this year so that you can keep going in the program and you'll be caught up and you won't have to do this again next year. So I have a couple motivators here. One, I really do want to help you. Two, I really do want to help my own business as well. That's what we would refer to in negotiation as win-win. So go give that a try. You go to the website, letstruck.com. You can sign up for the free trial in about 30 seconds. If you have any questions, you can always call us, 855-800-FUEL. But the real lesson here, the real message that I want to get across to you, whether you use our system or not, I really want you to, but just do it. If you want to sit down with a calculator and a pencil and add everything up and write it down and hand it to your tax preparer, at least do that. But think about the benefits of taking a day or two, sitting down, using our software for free for the whole year and having those business reports. You could call me like a lot of people do on the air. We could go over your numbers. If you have questions about what you should be doing in your business, I can give you much better answers when I have those numbers right there in front of me. But even more important than me looking at them is you looking at them. You will know so much more about your business. You will move out of the masses, and you will move yourself into the top 5% of this industry just by doing this one thing. Now, I say just one thing. It's hard work. There is no question. But it gets a lot easier. We just had a call the other day, and the guy didn't even like turning on computers. So he was starting from ground zero. But he did the hard work. He took the time. He went in. He used our help. He learned how to do the program. And he was ecstatic. He was so happy. He can't wait now till the month ends and he can go in and put in his numbers and see the results. We're making that available to you now for the whole year of 2015. You can put your numbers in our system for free. Go do it. Stick around. We'll be right back. We're going to get right to your calls and questions. I'm Kevin Rothenberg. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Let's get to some phone calls. We're going to start off in Pennsylvania. Nick, welcome to the program.
Thanks for taking my call, Kevin. First off, to your monologue there, I must say that I got to say thank you, and I'm honored that you actually used my story in your ebook. And it happened to relate to the just knowing your numbers, sitting down, putting it in profit gauges. It will make people a better business owner. I cannot stress that enough to people. Just do it. It works.
You had such a great story. It was the example, you know, I see it over and over and over, but you took the time and got it in writing, and it was nice and clear and concise. So thank you for submitting that story.
Not a problem, and I hope it helps others, and that's why I put it in. Now on to my question. Unfortunately, it's not a good one. I had tires put on here recently, and I've had issues ever since. Well, come to find out, the shop that did it put all 60 of my lug nuts on with the impact wrench all the way. Did not reduce the torque, did not do it the way they're supposed to, and they have stripped a whole bunch of my studs. I'm looking at replacing 60 studs, and anybody that's ever replaced one knows one isn't fun, let alone 60. My question is, and I'm hoping that there is a tool, a device, a something that I can use that I don't have to replace all 60 studs, whether it recuts a thread, whether it straightens them, or what are my options here besides a whole bunch of work?
Oh, boy. I don't know that there are any good ones. You know, there are definitely tools. If the threads are just screwed up, we can recut threads. But that's not easy either. That's a lot of work. And the other thing that I worry about is, depending on how much torque they put on these, they actually stretch, they cause metal fatigue. So cutting the threads may work, but it may not be the best idea. I'll tell you what I would do. I would call one of two places. Or depending on how much time you have. I mean, you could call. We have a great show on Sunday nights, Rolling Toe with Mike and Kevin Beckett. That's the kind of stuff they really deal with. But if you can't wait, if you want to get this done today, I would either call MD Alignment or I would call Chad at Alignment Solutions in Kansas City. They deal with this kind of stuff all the time. They're going to know what your best options are. I really don't. I could give you a couple ideas, but they're going to know the very best options, and they're going to give you the pros and cons of each way of doing this. So this is one of those times where I would defer to the real experts in this area.
Okay. That works for me. Thank you very much, Kevin. Have a wonderful day.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. So sorry that happened. It's amazing how we have very clear methods of doing things the right way. Mounting a tire, balancing a tire, putting the tire on the truck, mounting it on the rim. And they're not rocket surgery. They're pretty straightforward and simple. And if you do all the right things, you can eliminate a lot of tire problems, and yet this is the kind of work we get all the time. It just makes me a little crazy. Again, I know I sound like a broken record, but this is why it is so important to build relationships with shops. For years and years, I had one guy, not even one shop, one guy who did all my tire work. And he was mobile. He would come out and do it on the spot. And the only other time anybody touched my tires was if something happened on the road and we didn't have any choice. And if we did, I had Dustin, who was my guy in Orlando, I had Dustin recheck the work when the truck got back to the yard. It's really important. And it's not easy. It takes time to build those relationships. I went through a couple tire shops that I wasn't happy with until I found the one, and we had a great relationship for years. But let me tell you what else I did. You know that I love Michelin tires. Dustin was not an authorized Michelin tire dealer, so he was not able to get me the best price on tires. I wasn't able to use my Michelin Advantage program, but I wanted to make sure I took care of Dustin. That's part of building that relationship. It's a give and take. And I paid much more for every tire I ever bought. And people would say, why would you do that? That's crazy. You always talk about saving money. Well, this is how I saved money, because the service was critically important to me. So I would buy my tires from Dustin so that he made money on the tires and the service. And yes, I paid more, but I could also pick up the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I had trucks that were dispatched at about 4:30 every morning or 5. And I could pick up the phone at 2:30 or 3 a.m., wake Dustin up. He would answer the phone, and he would go down to the yard if we had a tire problem so that I didn't miss a run or I didn't have to rent a truck that day. That's the beauty of building that relationship. And I might have paid more for my tires, but overall, I provided better service to my customer, FedEx, because I didn't have to call in on a certain day and say, sorry, can't go, got a flat tire, or whatever it was. I provided better service to my employees. They didn't have to miss a day. They didn't have to go drive to a shop and sit around and wait. Dustin would be in there fixing the tire, fixing the problem, and when my driver got there, he was ready to go. That's a win-win. So think hard about building those relationships. And look, I know that when you're on the road all the time, it's much more difficult. I had a good situation. I was there in the same place, but I've been out on the road. I've had trucks out on the road, and you can still do this. Let's go to Michigan. George, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin?
Good. What's on your mind today?
I put new tires on last April. I put Yokohama low rolling resistance all position tires on. And I just came across a deal on some wide single rims. So I'm kind of looking to go wide single. It's a single axle tractor. I ran across a deal on some used Michelin X1 XDN2s. And am I gaining, in your opinion, am I gaining anything going to that versus my Yokohama duals, which are rated 98 rolling resistance?
No, you're actually losing. Even though it's a wide single, everybody, you know, the whole industry talks about, oh, wide singles, and I do too. I love wide singles. But the XDN2 wide single was not a low rolling resistance tire, not at all. And if you have a good low rolling resistance single, it really is all about the numbers. People sometimes get confused and they've heard wide singles are better, but it's the number that's important. And we can compare the numbers apples to apples. People sometimes think, oh, if it's a wide single, do I cut it in half of its duals, do I have to dump? No. They're measured in a wheel position. So when we say the rolling resistance is this on a wide single, you can compare that to the exact number for a set of duals that would be in that same position. So the XDN2, if I remember right, in the wide single was like in the 130 range. You would probably lose 3/10 of a mile per gallon.
I got 119 on AmericaMovesByTruck.com.
That is an older one then, and that's okay because they've changed over the years, 119, so we'd be losing about 0.2. Now, if you're willing to give up a little bit in the beginning, you get a good deal on the rims, you want to kind of see how you like wide singles. We're not talking about a huge amount of money, especially right now with fuel prices being low. So it might not be a bad idea. You get a really good deal on these things, throw them on, see how you like them, and then the next time you go to buy wide singles, you will then be able to get really the best rolling resistance possible.
Right. Yeah, because these are used wide singles. They have between 70 and 80% tread for like $450 a pair.
Oh, boy, you can't beat that deal. That's a great price right now. So, you know, you're going to save enough on the tire that you're not going to lose anything in the long run on the fuel economy, and you kind of get to test drive the wide singles. This is one of those times I think you've done your homework, and this would be worth making the move. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. Let's get back to some phone calls. Let's go to Mississippi. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I love the show.
You're welcome.
I went to the store back in December and spent about $600 for my Christmas present and got the
Engage
and got the books, got the DVR or DVDs, and I tell you, the scan gauge alone will pay for every bit of it. Just that will change my driving habit completely.
Fantastic.
And get my mileage up. It's just incredible.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I called. I bought this truck back in March of 14.
Okay.
And when I went to file my taxes last year, I didn't put it to work till 2015, till January 2015.
Right.
And the my accountant said at the time, he said, well, he said, and I paid cash for the truck and everything. He said, I wouldn't file any of that right now. They don't like it unless you have income to go with it. So now my question is, do I open up a 2014 or do I put it in January of 2015 or what? Where should I do that?
Yeah,
put those
good
expenses.
Question. So there's a couple issues here. Your accountant is right. This isn't so much about the IRS not liking it. You could put it in service in 2015 with no income, and there's nothing the IRS can say about that. We're not breaking any rules. What happens, though, is you lose a huge tax advantage by doing that, because all you would be doing is offsetting income tax, whereas if you wait until you have revenue, then you're offsetting Social Security, Medicare, and income tax. So he gave you good advice. That's the reason why we wouldn't. Now, what you're going to do is when you file your 2015 tax return, which is time right now, you're going to put the truck into service. Now, it changes one thing, and I should probably go double-check this. So ask whoever does your tax return this, and I'm making a note. I'm going to ask our guys. It used to be, and this may or may not have changed, that when you put an item in service in a different year than when you bought it, you could fully depreciate it. You just couldn't use the Section 179 deduction. You couldn't take it all up front. You had to take it out over the three-year schedule. That may or may not still be the case. And the only reason I'm saying that is because I haven't read those rules in a couple years. And the way IRS changes things, I don't want to be wrong on this. So ask Bearer, but clearly you put it into service in 2015, and your choices are either going to be you're going to have to put it into a three-year schedule, or if they've changed the rules, maybe you can write it all off on a Section 179.
Okay. So, but like for my expenses and the rest of it in profit gauges, do I open up 14 or do I just plug it into like January of 15 or what should I do?
I would plug it into January of 15 because it's going to be kind of useless information in 14 because the business wasn't doing anything. In 15, now you get to see kind of what really is happening. You spent this money on the business and you'll see it as a business expense. And it also is more accurate to your tax return as well because that's when it became a tax deduction.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's great. Hey, I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Let's head off to Florida. Adam, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's on your mind today?
Not much. We got done with our tax and the profit gauges, and I just wanted you to take a look at the business report, tax report, and maybe give me an idea of what I was looking at taxes after everything I've contributed to, and all my numbers should be in there. The only thing that's not in there is we actually did pay quarterlies for the first and second at about $2,200 to $2,300, or it should be in there. So including our payroll tax of about $12,000 for the year, and plus the $2,200 to $2,300 that we paid into on the first and second quarter, what we were looking at or an idea of.
Okay. So let's go over the business numbers first. Now that you have the whole year in here, under wages, the $52,000, is that your wages only or anybody else?
That's including my driver. For 4 months, like 3.5, 4 months.
Okay. So I'm just doing some quick calculations in my head, I'm looking at your bottom line. Just so people understand what's possible, how long have you been in the trucking industry?
I started driving in 2009. We started the company in 2011.
So you've been an owner-operator for a little over a few years, not very long at all, and you are netting, after all expenses, everything in for the whole year, over 70 cents a mile, without being able to pull out your driver's wages right now. But it's somewhere between 70 and 80 cents a mile. That is outstanding. And you're growing a business. We expect these numbers are going to be even better this year. So first off, congratulations on having a great year.
Thank you.
It looks really good. I don't see anything major we need to talk about in the business report. You and I have been through this a lot. You're doing a lot of stuff right. So let's take a look at the tax report. And all of your taxes have been covered on the wages. So what we have to look at now is, what are the taxes going to be on the profit? And I'm looking at the tax report. It looks like we've got net revenue should be right in the let me go back and look at something else here. Yours is a little harder to do with the employees, but 78, 16. You are probably in the range, and you've looked at these, so correct me if I'm missing something. About 60,000 net profit. Is that pretty close?
The tax report says 71, but 60 sounds about right.
Yeah. Just trying to do some quick adjustments in my head. I think that's about right. And again, we've already covered the tax on the wage. So this is where we are looking at income tax only, because this is considered profit. So we don't have to calculate self-employment tax, Social Security, Medicare, all that stuff. When the tax return gets filed, all you're going to pay on this $60,000 is income tax. Income tax is a much harder number to nail down without doing a lot of calculations. But I could roughly say that you are probably going, after we take personal exemptions, dependents, all that other stuff, you're probably going to end up somewhere between 10% and 10% tax rate because of all the adjustments. So I'm going to make a guess that we're probably looking at tax of somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000 on the profit.
All right. And this year the LLC part of it and incorporating paid off for sure, correct?
Oh boy, did it ever. It's going to save you thousands. Well, let's just go over the numbers real quick. You were able to put $60,000 into profit on an LLC instead of profit on a sole proprietorship. In a sole proprietorship, you would have had to pay self-employment tax on that $60,000, and that's 15%. So that's $9,000 of tax saved by having the corporation.
Yeah, and we also, this year we're going to be able to write off my wife's son, because his last year in high school, and he's been with us for the whole year. So we have a dependent we can put on the tax as well.
In a bunch of other credits and all kinds of weird stuff. It's really nice to have a dependent. But yeah, congratulations. You did a lot of things right. You had a great year. You kept up with your numbers all year. You did the incorporation. Clearly you saved $9,000 alone just by doing those things. That's pretty impressive. Good stuff. Stick around. We'll be right back. Kevin Rothberg.
Thank you.
quick heads up, we're heading into the fourth segment. At the end, I'm going to say goodnight, goodbye, all that stuff. I've got to get out of here. But don't hang up. We're going to come right back and do another hour. Right now, it looks like I probably have enough questions. It's going to depend on how long each one takes. So if you want to get through, you may have a chance. If you press one on your phone pretty quick, we might get to you. Here we go. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're down to the final segment. I want to remind you of a couple things. One, at the open, I talked about an offer we're making. If you sign up for our a 30-day trial, it's completely free on Profit Gauges. We're going to open up the program for 2015 so that on the free trial, you're going to be able to use the software to put in all of your 2015 numbers, and you're going to get one tax report that you can print out or email right to your tax preparer, or you can let us do your taxes and the information will already be in there. Free to use it for the whole year of 2015. Don't put this off. Go do it. Just go to letstruck.com or give us a call, 855-800-FUEL. Also, the ebook that I just released, ebook and audiobook, we are giving that away completely free. And this is not a little book. This is 50-some pages and over an hour of audio and tons of great information if you want to get started as an owner-operator. And that's real easy to get. Just go to letstruck.com. You'll see it right there on the homepage. Let's get to some calls. We're off to Florida this time. Lewis, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. How you doing? I got your ebook. I've been listening to you now for a couple months. I've also started keto. Lost about 15 pounds. I know I could have lost
Excellent.
More, but it's I haven't been exactly, I'd say, like doing a real clean version of it, but I'm getting better at it. In listening to you, I've gone ahead and applied to a couple of trucking companies, and I finally narrowed it down to one where I'm going to hopefully go as a company driver and get training through them. So I was thinking I'd probably work as a company driver for about maybe a year or two to really learn and hone my trucking skills, and then try to go owner up. What would be your advice on that?
Yeah, I think you're doing a lot of things right. It sounds like you've been researching the industry before you just jumped in. You're listening, you're learning, you're taking advantage of, you know, resources and information that's out there. This is a great plan, and the time frame of a year is very reasonable. Depending on your financial situation, I don't think you would need to wait to. Just to give you an example, I don't recommend this to people, but at 22 years old, I bought a truck and went to work. I've never been a company driver in 30 years of being in the industry. Now,
wow.
I was young. I had lots of energy. I was very determined to succeed. But I was broke, and I managed to make it work. Some of it was just pure dumb luck. Some of it was just not willing to give up no matter what.
Right.
I think your plan is much smarter than mine. So keep doing yours. You've got the ebook. That's a great place to get started on your plan. That's going to give you six big things not to do. You know,
yes.
Stay away from those six mistakes, and that's going to get you a long way towards your plan. At some point, invest in the audio program. It's roughly $250, and that's going to help you build your plan. It's also going to help you really focus in on your timeline. I have a part in the book where I walk you through some exercises about your finances. You know, the knowledge required to get started, somebody could acquire the knowledge in 30 days. I have it all in writing. Follow the plan.
Wow.
So I could tell a lot of people, hell, yeah, you could start in 30 days. You could buy a truck, you'd be fine. But the other big part of that is, where are you financially? And on the air, I don't always have enough time to go through all that with somebody, but in the audio program, there are worksheets in there, and you fill out the worksheets, and then I score it. There's a scoring table in there. And then based on your score, I tell you, you should probably take about 6 months before you buy your first truck, and here's the things you should be doing in 6 months. I make some book recommendations. I might say 3 months. I might say a year. Some people, I think the scale goes all the way out to 2 years. If they're really in bad financial shape, we might take 2 years. And so it's really clear and detailed in there, and that's going to help you nail down your timeline. If you follow what you're hearing and what you're reading, and you stick to the program, you're going to succeed at this. I will tell you, the hardest part of all of this is going to be getting through the culture shock of the first 6 months. Living in a truck with a trainer. If you get the right trainer, it can be an amazing experience. If you get the wrong trainer, it can be absolute hell. But it's just part of what you have to go through in today's world for the most part to get into the industry. So, you know, keep an open mind. It's not as bad as it seems sometimes, but I'm just kind of warning you. There can be some culture shock in the beginning. The training isn't always the greatest thing in the world, but having your plan and knowing what your goal is will help you get through that rough time in the beginning.
Right. That's what I really, really appreciate about the way you break things down. You make it so simple that that's part of my plan when I'm finally in the truck by myself to get the audio so that I can listen to it and start preparing myself to hopefully the end goal being getting my own truck and starting my own business.
Yeah, don't even necessarily wait. I understand what you mean. When you're in the truck by yourself, you have all that driving time to listen. But you know what? With a smartphone and audio book, stick one earbud in and listen while you drive. That doesn't disturb the other, your trainer. And he, in the beginning, you're not going to do that. And clearly we have. But you're also going to have time where he's driving. You're not going to sleep the entire time he's driving. So in the beginning, have some audiobooks available. And when there's time and it's, you know, not affecting your safety, I would be listening right from day one.
Sounds good. Sounds good, my friend. I really appreciate all the information you put out there. And like I said, I've been listening, and I'm going to keep listening. And I don't think I can fail as long as I just I keep listening to the information and stick to the plan.
Well, thank you, and congratulations. I wish we had more people like you coming into the industry. That's what we need: people who have a plan, they're thinking, they're finding resources, they're researching. We need a lot more of that in the industry. That's a big part of why we do what we do here at Let's Truck. Our mission is to make the industry a better place, and this is how we do it, one driver at a time, helping them be better at what they do. So thank you for caring and doing the hard work. Let's go to Missouri. John, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. Sunday show, there was a guy that called in having issues with his not being able to get his temperature up and his oil pressure was high.
Yes.
It was 22 below in Minnesota where he was calling from. Did that cause
that
issue?
I don't think he mentioned that. I don't think he mentioned that in the call.
He didn't mention that it was 22 below, but he was in Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't always pay a lot of attention to that when I, you know, my mind goes into troubleshooting mode right away. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
My advice to him would have been totally different if I would have thought about that. I would have said, put a winter front on the truck.
Exactly. The ebook, what does that open? I have an iPhone. What does that open up in?
you know, I'm not exactly sure. I have an iPhone too, and we went through this whole process. The iPhone will open the ebook so you can read it, or it will open the audiobook so you can listen to it, but it seems to happen right inside the mail program. It doesn't seem to be, it doesn't seem, I can't figure out, you know, is it using a text reader? It's not going into my iTunes for the audio. It literally opens both versions, the text and the audio. As far as I can tell, it's opening them right in the mail program.
Okay. That was just kind of curious, and I was wondering if it was opening up in the books or in the iTunes, so... Thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank you very much for putting that out. I'm really looking forward to reading it.
You're welcome. Thank you for the heads up on that. That is a very good point. Minus 22 degrees, things act a little differently. I was not thinking about that temperature at the time. The answer then would have been throw a winter front on that truck and you can control that heat a little better. There's the music. Thanks for joining me. Oh, one other thing. I think on the iPhone, if you know how to manipulate files, you could actually move those files into folders on the iPhone and then open them with whatever program you want. The files are a PDF for the text and an MP3 for the audio. But I do know on the iPhone, you just click on the link in the email that we send you from your phone. It will just open them up so you can either read them or listen to them. It's actually very slick. We'll see you next time. Be safe. Be profitable. Be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. I'm Kevin Rothenberg. All right, we're going to get started on a second hour. Here we go.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business
and Beyond,
the show that puts the money where it belongs,
back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking. We take your calls and answer your questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, maintenance, tires, taxes, technology, health and fitness on the road, getting started as an owner-operator, finding freight, working with brokers. If you've got a question about anything at all, pick up the phone, join us here, and I'll do my best to get you an answer. You know, I've said that 2016 is going to be a big year for us here at Let's Truck. I love the fact that we have such a loyal tribe. You guys support us, and when you support us, that allows me to create even bigger and better programs. A lot of it just comes down to money and time, and if we have enough money, I can buy other people's time to get work done. So when you bring your support to us by buying things in the store, by attending the CMC, by using our software profit gauges, by using our tax services, that gives me the resources then to create even more. It really is a win-win. So first off, I just want to thank you for your support in 2015. It was amazing. 2015 was a big, big growth year for us. So In one way, that's outstanding. It did give us the resources, but I was also kind of scrambling all year to keep up with that growth and kind of get it under control, and I've done that. We spent the last quarter of 2015 really getting that under control, and now I am off to a running start on 2016, and I am excited about creating things for you. So a couple things we've already done here at the beginning of the year I want you to know about. One is we are opening up our software, Profit Gauges, our accounting software. We are going to open it up and let you use it for all of 2015 to get your numbers together for taxes. So, and that's free. You go sign up for a free 30-day trial, and you're going to have 30 days to go back and do your accounting for 2015. The whole year is opened up. It's the full program, no limitations. And then you're going to have business reports for every month, going to have a one-page tax report that you can print out or email it right to your tax preparer right out of our system, or one click in our system and you can have us do your taxes from those numbers as well. That's totally free. We're going to give you all of 2015. I've also created a new program this year for people who want to get started as owner-operators. I'm not going to go real deep into it, but we're calling it the 1-2-3 program, 3 steps, and step 1 we're going to give to you free. That is an ebook and an audio book that I just recently finished. We're going to give it to you free, and it shows you all the things not to do when you're going to get started as an owner-operator. You can get it real simple at letstruck.com. Just go to the website. You'll see it on the homepage. Download it. And we'll also, when you download that, we'll start sending you some emails with tips to help you along the way and explain what steps 2 and 3 are. I'm also working on putting together a webinar that will show you the whole program step by step. And so stay tuned. We'll be releasing that soon. And my mission for 2016 is to recreate this program. This program came out so well. I'm so excited about this that I have lots of other ideas to do the same thing. We're going to create some ebooks and some resources to give away, some audio books, and then move you through these different steps. And again, I'm excited about that. So check it out. And again, thanks for your support in 2015. Let's get to some phone calls. Let's go to Colorado. Barry, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Doing great. What can I help you with today?
I was just calling about my business report. Well, not so much about my business report, but my maintenance is always high in comparison to how you say we should be running at. I've always run pretty much at that same rate. This is tractor and trailer, million-mile truck. But I'm just wondering how you reduce your maintenance, whereas the way I see reducing it is you don't fix something. So
no, that it will actually – yeah, good question. And if you don't fix things, it will give you a real short-term fix, and then things will go the other way. You will end up spending way more on maintenance when you start ignoring things. So –
exactly.
First off, give me a little bit of information. What year is the truck and what engine?
It's an 03 Pete 379 C15 Cat, million miles, never been into, run a flatbed.
Okay.
Been doing this for a long time.
A flatbed. So, let me give you a target number for that combination. My goal, if I owned that combination, would be no more than 10 cents a mile maintenance. Now, there are going to be times where it's going to climb much higher than that for a little while. If we go, you know, you've got a million miles, you haven't touched much, you've got some big things coming up. At that point, if we put in, you know, some pretty major stuff, a clutch or something like that, for a month or two, our number might go up higher than that. But long term, 10 cents a mile was my goal on a pre-emission truck, which you have, and a flatbed trailer. Not a lot of maintenance on the trailer itself, a penny or two a mile, maybe 3 cents there, 6 or 7 cents on the tractor. So did you happen to download our maintenance checklist that we just put out recently?
No, I haven't done that, no.
Okay. I'll direct you to there when we're done, because there's a lot of stuff we do, but I'll go over some of the big stuff.
You know, I mean,
go ahead.
You see my business report, I've always been averaging around 22 cents a mile maintenance. I mean, I put everything into maintenance. I don't break it down, little things. If I spend it, whatever goes to filters, oil, it all goes to that. But, I mean, I've done the big stuff. I've rebuilt tranny. I've done clutches. I've done all hoses, I mean, all kinds of stuff, you know, brakes, everything's come in the last couple of years because you're hitting that, you know, 800,000, 900,000 mark.
Okay, but so like there's two things we there are two things we want to take into consideration then on your number. One, that you have done a lot of big stuff, so that is going to raise your number for a while, but long term it should help lower your number because you're taking care of things. The other thing is there are some people who are absolute sticklers for maintenance, and Bruce Mallinson is one of these guys. If he starts to notice that the edges are wearing off of the switches on his dashboard, he will replace every switch on the dashboard.
Yeah, I'm probably not that bad, but I'm close second.
So that's going to be a part of it. And look, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that is a decision you get to make. It's your business, your truck. But if we understand it, then maybe you'll feel a little better about the numbers. I've told people will call me and they'll have an oil leak on the engine, and it's fairly minor, but it's annoying. You know, you get oil on stuff, and they'll ask me, should I fix it? Sometimes you can spend thousands of dollars to get to that oil leak to fix it. If you want to and you understand the consequences, then do it. I will just kind of put up with it until I have to get to that spot anyway for some other reason. So there are, you know, variations of how crazy we are about maintenance. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If that's the way you like to keep your truck, there are certainly a lot of positives to that. You're always going to have a great truck. You're not going to be broke down on the side of the road. So it's always finding that balance. So I don't think your numbers are as bad as what my comparison might make it look like. So the first thing I would do is relax a little. It's probably not a big deal. But the other thing is if you go through a lot of the products we talk about, the OPS will save you anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000 a year on oil maintenance. That adds up. The FAST system will save you long-term on injectors. That adds up. The counteract balance beads and an MD alignment on your tires will save you a lot of money on tires in the long run. The engine start module, the Maxwell, is going to save you a lot of money on batteries in the long run. So, and those are the kind of things I actually go through step by step in that maintenance checklist. But that's really how I've been able to control maintenance costs so well over the years. My average on three trucks, even after they were past a million miles, my fleet average was right around 7 cents a mile, tractor only. So if we threw in two or three or even four, you could get to that 10, but I wasn't such a fanatic about replacing every single switch and things that were a little worn out, because my goal was to get my cost as low as possible. I don't think I like your maintenance program. There's a lot of benefits to it. You could take your program, add a little bit of mine, and you could probably get that number down some. So I wouldn't sweat your numbers too much. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rothenberg. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rothenberg. And you know, in that last call, I didn't get to all the stuff. Fleet air filter saves money. It's a lifetime filter. You buy it one time. That a lot of the things we talk about on the show and a lot of the companies that we partner with, we target those products because they lower maintenance costs. Our two big areas, how do we lower fuel costs? How do we lower maintenance costs? And then third, how do we lower taxes? Those are areas we target, so those are companies we partner with. Let's go to Florida. Ray, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin.
Good afternoon. What's on your mind today?
Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
For a single truck owner-operator that has a trailer, is it better to go LLC, sole proprietorship? I need some direction in this area, only because I think I paid maybe too much in taxes last year.
Okay, so I can definitely give you direction. I may need some numbers from you, but let's get rid of the reasons you wouldn't do an LLC or a corporation. Most of the stuff you hear, those aren't good reasons. So if you hear commercials where, you know, you protect all of your assets against liability, you can get corporate credit, all the crazy stuff, that's all BS. None of that stuff matters, and none of that stuff is worth forming a corporation for. We have really just one criteria when it's time for an owner-operator to form a corporation, and that is what you mentioned, how much tax are we paying? When you get to a certain level of income, then the corporation can start saving you money. The reason it can't save everybody money is because there are expenses to having a corporation. You have to pay to file it. You have to pay annual fees. You have to pay to do payroll. You have to, your accounting costs go up because you have to do corporate accounting and corporate tax returns. So we need to make sure we're at a level where the savings created by the corporation will offset or exceed, we really want them to exceed, the expenses of having a corporation. So do you remember about how much was on the bottom line of your Schedule C on the tax return?
That would be profit after all expenditures.
Yeah, profit after everything, including depreciation and per diem. A lot of times we don't think about those things because they happen on the tax return, but we want to know the number after all of those.
Okay, I did have the per diem last year, but I did not have the depreciation. My equipment
okay.
is paid for. I think it's roughly in the $35,000 to $38,000, and I paid about $7,000 in taxes on an LLC.
Got it. But the LLC was taxed as a sole proprietor, correct? No, you're not there yet. The break point is right around $60,000. And let me explain what happens. As a sole proprietor, or even an LLC being taxed as a sole proprietor, you pay tax on all the profit. So in this case, let's call it $38,000, whatever the number was. It was in the 30s, so even if we call it 40, you're going to pay self-employment tax and income tax on all of that money. And that's just the way it is. There's not much we can do about that. As a corporation, you have to change the way you do things. You have to start paying yourself a wage. As a sole proprietor, you can't pay yourself a wage. It's not part of the system. As a corporation, you have to pay yourself a wage. And you have to pay a wage that's reasonable for the amount of work you do for the corporation. In this case, the work you do is primarily driving. So we can take what an average driver makes, apply that to how many miles you drove, and it's easy to come up with a reasonable number. But the reasonable number is probably going to be $40,000 to $50,000, depending on how many miles you drove. So that number that we would have to pay you a salary is already more than what you're taking as profit, so there's not going to be any advantage. But if we get to the point where your profit is, say, $70,000 or even $60,000, and we pay you $45,000 as a wage, and these are just, I'm just averaging some numbers here, these aren't set in stone, but we paid you $45,000 as a wage, but there was $70,000 total profit, well, that means we've got $25,000 left over, and on that leftover money, we don't have to pay Social Security and Medicare. We only have to pay income tax. That's where the savings comes in. So those savings would be enough. At $70,000, clearly it would be enough to cover all the expenses of the corporation and still save us money overall. 60 is where I tell people to start looking at it, but we've got to dig a little deeper into the numbers and do some estimating and things like that. At 70, it's pretty much a no-brainer. I could just about say any owner-operator who's clearing 70 would benefit from having a corporation. Does that all make sense?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So the idea of me going with the LLC and sole proprietorship is not a great idea?
Oh, no, that was fine. That was fine. It wasn't really necessary. The LLC doesn't do a whole lot for you as a sole proprietor, but it certainly didn't hurt anything. And eventually what we'll do is switch the LLC from being taxed as a sole proprietor, we'll switch it to being taxed as an S-corp when you hit that number.
When it gets up to 60,000, then go ahead and switch.
Yep. Yep.
To a corporation.
Yeah, now 60,000 is where I say let's look at it. It's not a slam dunk all the time at 60. At 70 it is. Between 60 and 70 is when I would like to dig a little deeper into your number. So, you know, for the people who use our tax system, we watch that number. If we see somebody is in that area, we'll go in, look at their records, make a determination, and then kind of let them know, hey, we're seeing you're getting pretty close to that number. Here's what we could save you if we move you to a corporation.
Okay, great. I think I'll probably send you guys my taxes this year and have you take a look at them and see what we can come up with.
That sounds good. And again, like I say, we do that kind of evaluation all the time. We only work with owner-operators. We know what the numbers are. And we'll keep an eye on that for you so that we can kind of get ahead of the game and not have you pay a bunch of tax 1 year and then recommend it after the fact. We'll keep an eye on it if you're in our system. Let's go to Ohio. Herschel, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey there.
I've got two things for you. The first one, because of the previous caller a couple ago, about the audiobook that you just put out?
Yeah.
I also have iPhone, and mine is iPhone number 6, not 6S or the flamethrower version, just regular 6. When I went to your email for the book, it aligned to open it to read and aligned to open it to listen to. So
right.
The reading part, that book, when I opened it up, at the very top, kind of like where a toolbar would be on a regular PC, if you tap your screen, it'll pop up a little bar there at the top, and it'll say open in iBooks. I tapped open in iBooks, and then it just simply took your book and transferred it in to the book application that's built into your phone.
Oh, cool.
So it's just there. I mean, no problem. I can type, hit that, and it brings it up along with my other books for the reading version. But for the audio version, just like you said with the MP3, you know how an MP3 just gives you a dark screen, and then when it's ready to play, there's a little arrow on there, and you touch that arrow,
right,
and it begins to play. For whatever reason, I've tried it two or three times, it begins and it doesn't even get through your foreword of the book, and then it resets itself and starts all over. So I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know what's going on there. I haven't figured that out yet.
You might want to try deleting the file, although the file isn't even there. You just might want to try, I don't know. We're going to have to figure that out because I know we tested it on multiple iPhones going all the way back to the 4. The file itself is good. I mean, it should play all the way through. So we know it's not a corrupted file, but your file may have corrupted on the download possibly.
Yeah, who knows? I do have another
one
for you. I'll wait until after the break.
Okay, well, hold that thought. We'll come back to it right after this break. stick around. If you want to get a copy of that ebook and audiobook, you can do it real easy and free at letstruck.com. It's right there on the homepage. We'll be right back. Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're going to get right back to the phones for the break. I was talking with Herschel. Herschel, go ahead.
Okay. I went to my DO. I like a DO better than an MD because they're a little more level-headed.
Okay.
And I asked for a battery of tests to see if I have deficiency somewhere or just simply where I'm at. The only number that showed, and by their scale, I'm on the okay side, is vitamin D. On the scale from the DO, they said that number should be between 30 and 50. I'm at 33, so I'm just barely over the bottom edge. But I was reading on Dr. McCullough's site, and he says that he's leaning now more towards 50 to 70 as a good number. And that being said, supplementation is probably the only way I'm going to get it up because wintertime in Ohio, how much sun can you get?
Right.
But there are 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 international unit capsules out there. What in the world do you do? Which one, how much, and for how long to get the level up?
Got it. Very good question. And this brings up another issue that I want to talk about first. When we get these tests and they have these ranges that they call good, and as long as you're within the range, they just say you're fine. The problem is those ranges are created kind of as an average. They're looking at the whole population, and we understand now that our population isn't very healthy. We have a population that's eating a high carbohydrate diet loaded with grains. And grains are notorious for blocking the absorption of nutrients. But yet the standards get set because if we set them properly on a lot of these things, everybody would fail, or just about everybody, so they don't do that. So when I do these kind of tests, I'd like to go look, and Mercola is a great place to find these numbers. Don't give me the U.S. average, the range we think we should be in. Give me optimal. What is the best number I should be shooting for to be really healthy? And in this example, what the traditional medical system is calling the high number, 50, Mercola is actually saying that's the lowest number you should be shooting for. That's not optimal at all. So that's the first thing I want to say is that we have to, if we want to be really healthy, we have to look at these numbers a different way and then go find the better numbers, which is what you've done. Most people would say, oh, the range is 30 to 50. I'm at 33. I must be good. You're really not. That is well below optimal. And I have a feeling that anybody who doesn't live in a very, very sunny climate and get outside without, you know, a lot of clothes on is vitamin D deficient. We are figuring this out now, and it causes a lot of problems. So on to what we do about it. Really only two things, supplement or sun lamps. And I know we've been told don't do tanning beds, don't do sun lamps. That's going to give you skin cancer and kill you. There are some really specialized sun lamps and beds that are really good for you. They provide the good parts of the light spectrum, and they filter out the bad parts. That's not easy, though, for you and I. So we really look at supplementing. First off, when it comes to vitamin D, make sure you are supplementing with D3, not D2, which is the most common. Your body can't use D2 very well at all. So D3 is what you're looking for. I'll tell you what I did, and I am waiting to go test. So here's what you do. I'm taking 10,000 international units a day. And what I'll do is after a couple weeks of that, and I just started because I know I haven't been getting any sunshine. So I'm doing 10,000. I'm going pretty high on the dose. And then you just go back and retest. That's the only way to really know. Everybody's a little different. You'll absorb it differently. So the best way to know, it's kind of like doing oil samples. We change something, then we go back and retest. And if you're taking 10,000 units and it comes back that you're off the charts high, then, you know, that would give us enough information to know how much we have to adjust. If you're taking 10,000 units and you fall right at 60, perfect. Let's just keep it there.
Okay. As a follow-up, I am not really losing a whole lot. I'm staying steady, which is a plus. At least I'm not going up. So I also ask for thyroid. And I was told that they will not do RH unless TSH shows something they don't like. So their range for TSH is 0.350 to 4.840. I got my test in my hand, and I'm showing 1.102. So I'm on the low side of the range at best again. And they won't even do TRH because this doesn't show bad enough, so they won't even do it.
This is typical.
Would vitamin D
and
thyroid both being on the lower side affect whether or not I'm going to burn fat even though I'm eating it?
Absolutely. Not only will it affect the a lot of things, fat metabolism, the thyroid is so important. We know that when you have low thyroid function, weight gain is common. So you're kind of offsetting it because you're eating so well, but it's still not enough to actually induce weight loss. So I think we have identified what's going on, definitely two problems. There's a couple things you can do here. I don't think we need to test the thyroid any further with blood tests or anything like that. Again, I think if you were to find an NTP, they can do thyroid testing that's pretty non-invasive. They're not going to have to do a blood test or anything like that. There are some other ways we can test thyroid. And then what they're going to do is they're going to test different supplements. And they do that right then on the spot. We can do like instant testing on whether or not a supplement is likely to help you or not. I'm amazed at this, but I've seen it now and I believe in it. So they'll check a couple things on a physical exam. They'll determine, and I think it's pretty clear you do have a lower functioning thyroid, which is common. Then they'll test some supplements, and then they'll send you on your way with the supplement that's going to do you the most good and works best for you. And the good news is that thyroid supplementation, it's kind of self-fixing. When you give the thyroid the stuff it needs and it gets that over time, it will fix itself and then you won't have to take the supplements anymore. Vitamin D, on the other hand, you have to take the supplement for as long as you're not getting enough sunshine.
Mm, okay. Well, I did find an NTP on that site that you talk about in Cincinnati, but I've not gone any farther than that because I wanted this standard doctor testing to see where I was before I went on to see this person in Cincinnati.
That's perfect. Yeah, that's perfect. Okay. I highly recommend that because the results they gave you are good, valid results. Where I have the problem, and you see it right now, is how they interpret those results. They interpret it as, look, you're probably healthier than the average American, so why bother doing anything? Whereas an NTP is going to look at them and say, wait a minute, that's a pretty clear indication that your thyroid is not functioning optimally. Maybe you don't have thyroid cancer, you don't have a disease, but it's not optimal, so let's fix it. Let's make it better. Let's optimize it. Doctors are trained to only look for disease.
Okay, so on the vitamin D, should I do 5 or 10,000, and how long before I retest to see what it did?
You know, my thought is there's enough research to show 10,000 isn't going to cause any damage. It might sound like a really high dose, but it's not going to cause any damage. And I would wait anywhere from 2 weeks to 30 days to retest. And again, if I come out way over the limit, then I'll adjust. If I come out at the high side of the limit, I'm probably just going to keep taking the 10,000.
Will the NTP know and be able to do the vitamin D testing as well? Should I just simply do it all there?
NTPs can't really order blood testing or anything like that.
Okay.
So they may have some. Now, what you may find, and it may be worth it to go to the NTP first, because they may be working with a medical doctor that they could recommend and say, look, you could go back to yours, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you go to this one, we work together, and we're all on the same page. It's getting more and more common for NTPs to actually work right in doctors' offices and chiropractors, doctors that get it and are looking at actually trying to make their patients healthier, not just fixing disease. So I think I would go see the NTP first and let them guide you through the rest of this process. Stick around. We'll be right back. Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're down to the final segment tonight, so I'm going to get right back to the phone calls. Let's go to Arizona. Leo, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Good. What can I help
you
with today?
Okay. I have a question about fuel and oil, but first let me tell you something about my truck. Like 2 days ago, I have a Camis i6 with 1.2 million on the clock. Two days ago, when I start the truck, everything seems to be good. But when I start driving the truck, I couldn't get more than 20 miles per hour. Outside, it was like 20 degrees, not so cold. And I got a lot of black smoke, a lot. And after about 20 miles, everything cleared. The truck came back to life. I don't know what it was. I don't know. Maybe it could be an injector or something. I don't know. And I have another question. I have some question about the oil.
Okay. Well, let's stop there before we get to the oil. What year is this?
It's an 05. It's an AGR, but I took care of AGR like a few years ago. So let's say it's
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is more than likely a fuel-related problem, although it could also be a sensor problem. There are some sensors that are very sensitive to temperature, and if the sensor is malfunctioning, it could derate the engine, it could do all kinds of things. So most likely cause was a fuel-related problem because of the temperature. Or it could be a sensor, and we'd have to dig deeper to figure it out. So let's move on to the question about the oil.
Okay, what do you think about putting some like two-cycle oil in the fuel? I heard a lot of people used to do something like that. Of course, it's we are talking about the pre-emission engine, not the DPF or something like that. And
yeah, so let
like
go ahead.
Two cycle oil or ATF, like transmission fluid, just to clean the injector or something like that.
Yeah, so let's first rule out anything with the DPF. Anything with the DPF,
yes.
Do not put anything in the fuel like this, unless you're going to use something like a Lucas fuel injector cleaner, and they even make one. Lucas makes a product that's designed for DPF engines, and that's what I would recommend. That's actually what I'm going to recommend to you, but we'll also talk about, you know, historically what has been done. You know, when I first started in trucking, and my dad had been in trucking, my grandfather had been in trucking, we put a quart of automatic transmission fluid in the tank on a pretty regular basis, and I swear it helped. I don't have any proof, but I think it helped. Thinking back, two-cycle oil probably would have been a better idea. The reason being that there are things in any oil that will make your diesel fuel a little better. It will add some viscosity, it adds lubricity. But there are also some things in oils and transmission fluids that we don't really want in the fuel system. They don't belong there. They don't burn. So back then on a mechanical engine, it didn't really seem to hurt much. Today's engines, a lot more sensors, a lot more stuff going on. You probably don't want those things in your fuel system. So two-cycle oil would have made more sense because it's designed to be burned in a fuel system. But really, why don't we just go one step further than that and use a product like a Lucas injector cleaner that has been entirely formulated just to be in that fuel system?
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, but people are talking about because the fuel is not so good how it was to be. It's too dry, they say.
Right. The engine manufacturers all know that. We went to low sulfur decades ago. We went to ultra low sulfur many years ago. And the engine manufacturers have made up for that. I don't see any huge problems created by this fuel like a lot of companies claim. Could we improve it? We could, but we also have to watch cost. You know, I'm not going to dump a lot of expensive additives into my fuel all the time because the trucks are running just fine on this fuel. Once in a while, and I would say once a quarter, I might dump in something like a Lucas fuel additive or an injector cleaner. I just don't see the need to do it every tank. And here's the other thing. If we got 20 people in the room and they all knew a lot about diesel engines, everybody's going to have a different opinion. But honestly, if you asked me to prove my opinion, all the things I just told you, I can't. I can't prove any of those things. We don't have any testing. We don't have any real hard science. If I go to the engineers who build these engines and ask them, and I have done that, they will tell you, don't put anything in your fuel. It's not necessary. So if we ask the people who have the most knowledge, they're saying don't do it at all. If you ask me with, you know, experience in the real world and talking to a lot of people, I say once a quarter throwing in a good product like a Lucas isn't going to hurt anything. But my take on it is I'm not going to dump something into every tank. You could go down the road and find some guy who will swear that if you don't dump something in every tank, you're going to wipe out your engine. Again, there's no hard proof on this anywhere.
Yeah. Thank you very much. You answered my question.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Louisiana. Jonathan, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. I just got one quick question. I just want to know, what is the name of that audio book that you not too long ago found about investments or where to park your money?
Yes, that one was called Money Master the Game.
That's
and it's
it.
By
okay.
Anthony Robbins. Yep, it's by Anthony Robbins. And here's what I'll recommend. Get the audio book, no question, because it's long and it's a great listen. But if you're serious about this, at some point you're going to want the printed book as well. Now, I think the audio book offers a PDF that goes along with it. And you may find that that's enough. There's so much information in this book, and it's so specific. Like, they're going to tell you, you go to this company, you call this phone number, you go to this website, you get this type of account. So it's so specific that it's too hard to get it all in the audio and go back and find it when you're ready to do something. So download the PDF. I'm pretty sure there's one available on Audible when you get the audio book. But you may also want to really consider having the written book, because it's just a great reference to go back to. Let's squeeze in another call here. Let's go to El Paso. Perry, welcome to the program.
Hello, Kevin. Thank you for taking my call. I got a couple trucks I'm kind of looking at. I haven't seen either one, you know, face-to-face, but there's a 2000 P379. All I know is that it has a Detroit Series 60 engine in it. Do you know what would have been available back then, what I should look out for, or what would be good for me?
Well, there's two things. I can tell you what engine. There was really only one version of the Series 60 available back then. It's going to be the D-Deck 3, which is one of my favorite engines of all time. So nothing wrong with the engine. The problem is in the truck model. It's a 379. It's a classic. There's no aerodynamics to this truck at all. So you are going to lose the potential of one full mile per gallon over an aerodynamic truck. Now, if somebody calls me and they already own one, get the fuel mileage up as high as we can, but we always know we're giving up a mile per gallon. Even at today's fuel prices, that's $5,000 a year. When fuel gets above $3 a gallon, we're talking about $10,000 a year in a lot of cases. I don't like to give up that kind of potential. I mean, when we think about that, if we own a truck for 4 years, we're giving up $20,000 to $40,000 in profit to the oil company because of the body on the truck. So since you're out buying, I would skip this one, but it has nothing to do with the engine or anything else. I just can't recommend buying a classic. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh yeah, you make good sense there. The other one, all I know about it, it's a Freightliner with a Detroit in it, a 99.
Now, couple advantages here. The 99 will mean that, for the most part, you're not going to have to go to E-logs, ELDs, which is a nice benefit. The problem here is, without knowing the model, this could be a Freightliner Classic. And then I would again say no. If it's a Freightliner FLD, Century, or Columbia, then I'd go for it. Other than that, I'm out of time, so we'll have to tackle these issues next show. We'll see you then. Be safe, be profitable, be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us, and we will see you back here tomorrow.